Welcome to the OCR GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to crack open one of the most mark-rich topics in the entire paper, data analysis. Whether you're sitting component one or brushing up on research methods, this episode is packed with everything you need to walk into that exam feeling confident. So grab a pen, maybe a highlighter, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Data analysis sits within the research methods component of OCR GCSE Psychology, specification reference J203. The examiners want to see that you can do three things: calculate descriptive statistics accurately, interpret data presented in graphs and tables, and justify your choices. That last one is crucial. It's not enough to just know how to calculate the mean. You need to know when to use it, and just as importantly, when not to. The assessment objective breakdown tells us that AO2 and AO3 each carry 35% of the marks. That means applying your knowledge and evaluating it is worth more than simply recalling it. So throughout this episode, I'll be helping you think like an examiner, not just a student. Now let's dive into the core concepts. We'll start with the three measures of central tendency: mean, median, and mode. The mean is the arithmetic average. You add up all the values in your data set and divide by the number of values. Simple enough. But here's the thing. The examiners love to test. The mean is sensitive to outliers. An outlier is an extreme score that sits far away from the rest of the data. Imagine you're measuring reaction times in milliseconds for five participants: 200, 210, 195, 205, and 950. That last score, 950, is clearly anomalous. Maybe that participant was distracted. If you calculate the mean, including that score, you get 352 milliseconds. But the mean without it is just 202.5 milliseconds. See how dramatically one outlier can distort the picture? This is why examiners will ask you to justify your choice of measure. If there's an outlier in the data, you should select the median, not the mean, and you must explain why. The median is the middle value when your data is ranked in order from lowest to highest. This is where candidates lose easy marks. They forget to rank the data first. Let me say that again. Always rank your data before finding the median. If you have an odd number of values, the median is simply the middle one. If you have an even number of values, you take the two middle values and find their average. For example, with the data set 4, 7, 9, 12, 15, 18, you have 6 values. The two middle values are 9 and 12. Add them together to get 21, divide by 2, and your median is 10.5. The median is resistant to outliers, which makes it the better measure of central tendency when extreme scores are present. The mode is the most frequently occurring value in a dataset. It's the simplest to identify, but don't underestimate it. A dataset can have more than one mode. We call that bimodal. Or it might have no mode at all if every value appears only once. The mode is particularly useful for categorical data, like the most common eye color in a sample. Now let's talk about the range. The range is a measure of dispersion. It tells us how spread out the data is. You calculate it by subtracting the lowest value from the highest value. For example, if your highest score is 95 and your lowest is 42, the range is 53. The range is easy to calculate, but like the mean, it is affected by outliers. One extreme score can make the range look much larger than it really is for the majority of the data. Moving on to data presentation. The two graph types you absolutely must know for OCR GCSE Psychology are scatter diagrams and histograms. A scatter diagram is used to show the relationship between two variables. Each data point represents one participant's scores on both variables. You plot one variable on the x-axis and the other on the y-axis. The pattern of the dots tells you about the correlation. If the dots trend upward from left to right, that's a positive correlation. As one variable increases, so does the other. If the dots trend downward, that's a negative correlation. If the dots are scattered randomly with no pattern, there is no correlation. Now, here is one of the most common mistakes in the exam, and I want you to really hear this. A correlation does not mean causation. Just because two variables are related does not mean one causes the other. Examiners will specifically penalize candidates who write things like, "This proves that X causes Y." You must use language like, "There is a positive correlation between X and Y," or "as X increases, Y tends to increase." Never imply a causal relationship from correlational data alone. The strength of a correlation is described using the correlation coefficient, often written as R. This value ranges from -1 to +1. A value close to positive 1 indicates a strong positive correlation. A value close to negative 1 indicates a strong negative correlation. A value close to 0 indicates a weak or no correlation. So R equals positive 0.9 is a strong positive correlation, while R equals negative 0.3 is a weak negative correlation. Now, histograms. A histogram looks a bit like a bar chart, but there are crucial differences. Histograms are used for continuous data, data that can take any value within a range, like time, height, or test scores. The bars in a histogram must touch each other because the data is continuous with no gaps between categories. Bar charts, on the other hand, are used for discrete or categorical data, and the bars have gaps between them. This distinction is a classic exam trap. If a question shows you a graph and asks you to identify what type it is, check the bars. Touching means histogram, gaps mean bar chart. When plotting a histogram, your axes must be labeled with operationalized variables. That means specific, measurable descriptions, not just score, but memory test score out of 20, for example. Examiners will not award full marks if your axes are unlabeled or vague. Let's also quickly cover percentages, fractions, and ratios, because arithmetic questions do appear. To convert a fraction to a percentage, divide the numerator by the denominator and multiply by 100. So 17 out of 25 becomes 17 divided by 25, which is 0.68, multiplied by 100 equals 68%. To convert a percentage to a decimal, simply divide by 100. So 45% becomes 0.45. Ratios express the relationship between two quantities. If 12 out of 30 participants are female, the ratio of female to male is 12 to 18, which simplifies to 2 to 3. Now let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Tip number 1, always show you're working. In calculation questions, method marks are available. Even if you get the final answer wrong, you can still earn marks for demonstrating the correct process. Write out every step clearly. For the mean, write sum of all values equals x, number of values equals n, mean equals x divided by n equals your answer. Tip number 2, rank your data before finding the median. I cannot stress this enough. Every year, candidates lose marks because they pick the middle value from an unranked list. Write out the ranked list explicitly in your answer. Tip number 3. When interpreting graphs, always reference the axes. Don't just say, the scores went up. Say, the memory scores on the y-axis increased as the hours of sleep on the x-axis increased. Examiners reward specific reference to labeled axes and data values. Tip number 4. Check for outliers before choosing your measure of central tendency. If you spot an extreme score, choose the median and justify it by saying the mean would be distorted by the outlier. Tip number 5, never confuse histograms with bar charts. Remember, continuous data, touching bars, equals histogram. Discrete data, gaps between bars, equals bar chart. Tip number 6, correlation is not causation. If you see a scatter diagram, describe the relationship using correlation language. Do not imply that one variable causes the other. Common mistake number 1. Candidates calculate the mean when there is a clear outlier in the data. Always scan the data set for extreme values first. Common mistake number 2. Rounding errors. If the question asks you to round to 2 decimal places, do so. If it asks for significant figures, that's different. Read the question carefully. Common mistake number 3. Drawing a bar chart when a histogram is required, or vice versa. Think about the type of data before choosing your graph. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. Cover up your notes if you can, and try to answer these out loud. Question 1. What is the formula for the mean? Pause and think. The answer is sum of all values divided by the number of values. Question 2. What must you do before finding the median? Pause. The answer is rank the data in order from lowest to highest. Question 3. What type of data is a histogram used for? Pause. The answer is continuous data. Question 4. What does a correlation coefficient of negative 0.85 tell you? Pause. The answer is a strong negative correlation. As one variable increases, the other decreases. Question 5. Why might you choose the median over the mean? Pause. The answer is because there is an outlier in the data that would skew the mean, making it unrepresentative. Question 6. What is the key visual difference between a histogram and a bar chart? Pause. The answer is, in a histogram, the bars touch because the data is continuous. In a bar chart, the bars have gaps because the data is discrete or categorical. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Data analysis in OCR GCSE psychology requires you to calculate and interpret the mean, median, mode, and range. The mean uses all values and is sensitive to outliers. The median is the middle-ranked value and is resistant to outliers. The mode is the most frequent value. The range measures spread. Scatter diagrams show correlations between two variables. Always describe correlation in terms of direction and strength, and never imply causation. Histograms are for continuous data with touching bars. Bar charts are for discrete data with gaps. Always show you're working in calculations, rank your data for the median, label your axes fully, and check for outliers before choosing your measure of central tendency. The key phrase to take away from today: describe, don't assume. Describe what the data shows using precise language, reference the axes, and justify every choice you make. That's how you earn the top marks. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your revision, and remember, every mark counts. See you in the next episode.